Welcome back to Your Tech Report. For gadget news and reviews, click to yourtechreport.com.
Back on Your Tech Report, thank you guys for being with us each and every single week. About 2 years ago, this following gentleman joined me on this very show to talk about a very similar incident, except in a different country. What am I talking about? Well, first of all, let me introduce my guest. He is, Sandeep, you introduce yourself because you did it so eloquently. I learned this from my friend Stephen Scott, who is an incredible interviewer. He always goes to people saying, you know what, but let's just start off, say your name. And it works every time. So you never have to worry about mispronouncing names. You never have to worry about what the title is. You let the person do it themselves, and it's all like perfect. Sandeep, thank you for being here. Tell people who you are.
So my name is Sandeep Panesar, international man of mystery, large background in telecommunications and information technology. I've been doing that for a good 30 years plus. Mark, you and I have known each other for quite a number of years and worked on a couple of projects together as well, too. And I also am the chair for the Linux Foundation Networking Marketing Advisory Council as well, too. So I do a lot of work in the open source community, et cetera. So that's me in a nutshell.
And the reason you're here today with me is because, just last week, AT&T suffered a pretty, a service outage, which we're going to dive into in a second, very similar to exactly what happened two and a half years ago. I remember it was a balmy day in the summer and no one could terminate phone calls. No one could make calls. It affected payment terminals, Interac, parking. I mean, everything, things that I didn't even think would be affected.
That's right.
By a carrier going down, because you think, okay, it's just my wireless phone. But yeah, you forget about everything else that goes into it, right? The backhaul, the cabling, every little minute detail, some which I understand, some which I don't. So we spoke then because you have an incredible background in the telecommunications industry and I've been working in this field for a very long time. So you understand the things that I don't. And I want to talk about this AT&T outage because and we can get into so many details here, but let me ask the obvious, most obvious question is, this is 2024. Like, this is your primary bread and butter as a company. Like, you're selling people this service. How on earth does something like this happen without some kind of backup plan? And can there even be a backup plan if you're relying on wireless communication? I know that's a lot to start with, but let's dive in.
So listen, yes, to roll back, right? So, I talked about this on your show. I became part of Between Plays Media and, you know, we've got our own podcast and stuff like that we do, which is all stock market strategies. And the interesting thing here is we talk about this stuff all the time. So we're talking about low Earth orbiting, satellites. We're talking about using those as backup systems. Musk went out and cut deals with a bunch of companies. Yet somehow, 2 years later, either somebody forgot or didn't put in place, or maybe it wasn't quite ready. I don't really know. I could only guess, but I can tell you that AT&T did say that it was a software update that messed everything up. Now, it was not an attack. That's what they say. It's not a cyber attack. So, that's fine. All other networks are saying they weren't affected, but they weren't able to terminate calls to AT&T's network, so which means AT&T's customers were not receiving calls. Yeah. But, if you were calling between the other networks, everything was working just fine, right? That wasn't a problem. But I think that the big challenge that we see is that, okay, after the Rogers outage, which was a big deal, especially for Canada, considering how small we are as a population, AT&T had the same issues, right? Where people couldn't get access to internet, DirecTV was down, like the whole network was down. So,
and it was a big story when it happened with Rogers. I know that it may, people in the US knew about this. People around the world were talking about this.
That's right.
Yet they weren't prepared 2 years later.
Well, and this is the thing, right? And if you recall from our last interview, and I don't know if you'll go back or not, but from our last interview, I even said, right, it's not just relegated to Rogers in Canada. It could happen to AT&T. It could happen to Verizon. It could happen to T-Mo. It could happen to any of these companies around the world. We talked about this and it's happened again. right? Now, it was an 11-hour outage of, as opposed to Rogers, which was, I think, much longer, which was like close to 24 hours. But still, right, this is...
I love how that's how we're justifying it. That was only 11 hours instead of 24 hours. But I mean, this is... I want you to think about this for a second. I was in Vienna last week, and I was at this big conference, a global conference, and one of the companies we met with was a company named Access SOS. And what they do is they bridge the gap between... people who are hard of hearing, deaf, or just disabled, and 911 services. People who just can't pick up the phone and dial 911. There's still no text to 911 in a lot of places. And this, the topic of access to emergency services came up. And this is a perfect example. Like if you get into a car accident and something happens and you can't make a phone call, whether it's because AT&T is somewhere along the way as an interconnect, or whether you're on AT&T or whether the other end uses AT&T, that is a life-threatening emergency. So whether it's 11 hours or 5 minutes, that could mean life or death. And you know what? We might find out down the road that it was a life or death situation with someone, and that could have been averted. How do we avert that? How does a company even prepare for that? I know that you talked about like low Earth orbiting satellites, but that wasn't a thing 2 years ago.
Wasn't a thing 2 years ago, but you know, Musk and other companies like Converge and whatnot took advantage of that and tried to create something. You know, even we even talked about Apple and what Apple's trying to do as well too, in terms of buying up you know, satellite time so that they can actually build that
for their
back,
SOS feature,
for their SOS feature and things like that. So, I mean, there have been steps that have been put forward to get that done, but I think the biggest challenge is that we have is, you know, everybody's still on legacy infrastructure. And when I say legacy, I don't mean legacy in like rotting infrastructure or anything like that. You know, everybody's on 5G, racing for 6G or XG, whatever, you know, whatever.
When they haven't even perfected 4G, you know.
Well, 4G is kind of there, but, you know, we're kind of like 4.75G right now, right? And, you know, it's a little bit like the MP4 standard. It's like, yeah, we were trying to make audio and video, MP3 standard, excuse me. We were trying to make audio and video at the same time and we just couldn't agree. So it just became an audio standard, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of what 5G is. I think 6G, which is the next gen, which everybody's getting ready to launch and roll out. And, you know, this is actually a really good week for this because it's Mobile World Congress in Barcelona as well too. Exactly. You know, so all the big innovations are coming out and I'm listening to them every single day. And 6G is a very big part of it. But I think another big part of it as well, too, from what I'm hearing, is it's backup networks. How do you back up? How do you restore? How do you take control of those networks? And then the other piece of it as well, too, is how can you use artificial intelligence to, you know, take care of the network or manage the network, right? So in the industry, we have...
Focus on some of the small details that humans can't.
Well, exactly. Well, not even that, right?
Try and prevent it.
It's preventative... But also it's like AI for networking, networking for AI, right? So networking being infrastructure. So how do you make the network more efficient? So if you ever watch Silicon Valley, you remember Anton and Son of Anton, right? Well, that's basically what we're talking about here. Like how do you make the network incredibly efficient so that it can self-sustain itself? And that's, I think, where we're going to end up going, especially in this now, have already launched now, public, you know, industry of AI. You know, I wrote an article about artificial intelligence last year, and that article is all about where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. And it was very, very clear in that article. It's like, hey, listen, we've been working on this since the 60s. It's not like AI is new last year. It's just became public last year and accessible to the public, which is why, you know, things like DeepMind and Deep Blue and all of that kind of stuff that have been around for a long time, people forget.
They forget, but they also don't. I mean, I think people are, I'm trying to figure out the word here, but it's just become, it's a little bit more commercialized, right? It's been there before. It's always been, you know, used in some way, shape or form, but it hasn't been commercialized the way we've seen it. You know, I remember when it happened on Rogers, one of the takeaways was because they did launch an inquiry into it. And I think it was a similar situation where it was a piece of hardware, one piece of hardware that failed. You do it, probably an update given at that point in time. Doesn't even matter at this point. But I know that one of the ways the government was pushing to solve it was cooperation among the telecommunication companies, offering, you know, Bell or Telus or vice versa, so that if something does happen, a way to offload that. Is that even realistic, though? Can they? There's no big switch thing. There's different bands. There's different technologies.
Well, so here's the thing, right? And sorry to interrupt, but there is a way to do it. Right, because everybody's using backhaul, doing their own backhaul, right? So if there's shared backhaul between different networks, you can offload, right? You know, but you end up running into certain challenges, right? So for instance, if there's fiber in the ground, right, and there's, you know, 244 strands like through the pipe that's underground, and that pipe gets cut, well, guess what? Not all of that is owned by AT&T. Some of it's owned by AT&T, some of it's owned by Verizon, some of it's owned by T-Mo, right? So what you have to do is you have to have diverse paths and diverse connectivities and diverse networks in order to be able to support that. So is it doable to answer your question? Absolutely, yes, 100%. Are people committed to doing it? Well, 2 years later, I'm going to say not so sure. 2 years ago, I would have said yes.
Okay, I mean that's a safe assumption. You know, is the notion of, are we at a point in satellite technology, or I guess more in the phone technology, to be able to rely on things like low Earth orbiting satellites for communications like this? And one of the reasons I ask this is because one of the other concerns when we talked about, you know, the interoperability or just the cooperation between companies is if Rogers goes down or AT&T goes down and suddenly, you know, a failsafe goes in and you're flooding someone else's network with all this traffic, you know, there's a balancing issue. There's a load issue. Like, you could crash that network in the process of trying to help them. Satellites are similar, right? In terms of the amount of, there's always going to be a limit to how much data can actually, you know, transfer.
Yeah, that's 100% true. There's always a limit to how much data can be transferred. And that's why satellite networks are they're very expensive, right? So if you are offloading to a LEO or to a high Earth orbiting network, then you're going to have a cost, right? And there's a cost that's associated with the bandwidth that's being used because it's time, right? And time is money on those network connections and those connectivities. I think the other thing that's important to realize as well, too, is the bandwidth attenuation. Like, I mean, you're not looking at gigabits and gigabits and gigabits, hundreds of gigs of data flying through the air. You're looking at very small quantities of bandwidth. So those small quantities, well, I say small quantities comparatively to what we're now used to with 5G, right?
Yeah.
And those smaller...
We're talking about the basic phone service, right?
Right. So not even basic phone service. We're talking about emergency services, which is why everyone's been talking about limiting it to SOS, to 911, to emergency phone services, to emergency GPS location, that kind of stuff. And that's really what that backup network is meant to be. It is not meant to be a primary network. So, you know, if there was, God forbid, some solar flare for whatever reason, just, you know, I don't know. I just watched Knowing the other day. So I'm thinking solar flares, but if there was something weird like that happened, and it knocked out, you know, the entire cellular network, most likely your satellite network's going to be knocked out too. So that's not helpful. Right. But at least we can go one step further and we can try and do something to make sure that the terrestrial networks, even though it's wireless, I still call it terrestrial, still stay up and they still work. Now, in a situation like what happened with Rogers and also what happened with AT&T, you know, they're saying it's a faulty software update. So there's one of two ways that can happen. Right. Now, I don't know how sophisticated your listeners are, so I'm just going to just really, you know,
dumb it down,
right? But like, you know, DNS directory name services, like when they go wrong and there's propagation errors, you have problems. BGP, right, which is a protocol that's used to replicate commands over different routers, hub switches, whatever, across a network. BGP is really, really good. It's an excellent protocol because you update once and it just propagates. The problem is if you make a mistake, well,
that mistake then propagates.
Exactly, right? And it can knock...
It's a domino effect. It
can knock out networks. Like, I mean, when I had my telco back in the day, right, my CLEC here in Canada, we had a BGP update error and it knocked out the entire country. It was terrible, right? So, and that was 10 years ago, And then it happened with Rogers, and now it's happened with AT&T. Who's it going to happen to next, right? I think what we need to do, and the you know, the FCC is doing the right thing. They're investigating the whole challenge that occurred, and they're looking to see what can be done to make something a little bit more interoperable, right? So, you know, like again, like I was saying, like, you know, there
some kind of failsafe,
some kind of backup, yeah. Right? I mean, like again, you know, if I'm looking at the CNN article, right, which has got I had up in front of me, right, they're saying carriers are notoriously mum about why their networks go down. In the past, there have been construction accidents that have got fiber optic cables, incidents, sabotage network updates, filled with bugs that became difficult to roll back. So, you know, these things happen. It's not purposeful, and it's most likely it's human error, right? At this state in this day and age, and it's possible that a bunch of people lost their jobs over this. But at the end of the day, you know, AT&T issued an apology. They said that they sent text messages out to all of their subscribers and said, "You're going to get."
Hopefully, they got them.
Yeah, yeah. Said we're going to give you a $5 credit. Which nice. I was listening on the radio today, and they were just like the Americans were just like, "Yeah, okay, that's not going to make a dent in my bill." But you know, hey.
Same thing happened here. I think the same thing happened with the Rogers. It was like some kind of monetary amount, and I was like, "Yeah, thanks, that's great."
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, what really needs to happen is there needs to be a consensus on how we're going to do this, and I do agree with you. There should be an interoperability between the networks. There is already an interoperability between the networks because that's how you terminate calls. That's how you do origination and termination. Yeah. So that happens, whether it's wireless or wired. But I think, in my personal opinion, there needs to be something a little bit more.
Yeah. Sandy, we can talk about this for 2 hours, but we don't have 2 hours. If people want to find you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Into Sandeep on any social media platform. I am constantly on www.betweenplays.com as well, too. That's where we have our stock market strategies podcast, and we do Tech with Sandeep there as well, too. So feel free, please come and join us. You know, we're happy to continue the discussion as we go.
We will take a quick break and come back and wrap things up.
There's more Your Tech Report after this.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Ali Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.